Hey everybody, welcome back to Sunday night, Monday morning, whenever you listen to this. Episode 9 of the Tumblr Saber podcast is ready for you. And once again, I am Kyle, accompanied by my good buddy, Mr. James O'Flaherty. What's going on, James?
How you doing, Kyle?
Not too shabby. A little homeowner issues breathing down my neck, but whatever. That happens. I don't think there's any homeowners that get away with not having headaches.
Yeah, especially when it's rainy in January in Canada.
Yeah, we've got these this super warm winter so far, and as beneficial as that's been, it apparently has its downsides. So I have some phone calls to make as of tomorrow morning. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the Galaxy Far, Far Away. Oh wait, before we start, I gotta know, did you watch the NHL All-Star Game?
It's funny, I was at a 5-year-old's birthday party, and I was getting texts from a buddy that said NHL might have finally got it right, and all I could do was shake my head, because I almost never miss it, and obviously I wasn't watching this year, and I heard it was really good.
The new format seemed to work out. I wasn't sure. Like, I've stopped watching the All-Star Game. I had just lost interest. I used to live for All-Star Weekend up until maybe the early 2000s. Before that, you know, for 15 years prior to that, I absolutely adored All-Star Weekend.
Right, especially Skills Saturday, Hardest Shot, and Fastest Skater, and all that stuff was, yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, I missed a lot of that this year. But I at least wanted to. Actually, I wasn't even planning to watch the game, but there was, you know, it was sort of one of those write-off Sundays where nobody's doing anything and kids are kind of content playing and napping, and so I just said, okay, let me check this out, and I put on the game around 5. The new format was pretty interesting. I wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but I was pretty entertained.
Like I said, I missed it, but I heard it was good. Scott had a big game.
Yeah, John Scott, the pugilist who, I mean, by all rights, should not be there, but...
What do you mean? 2 goals! He has more All-Star goals than Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, so the word is definitely made its way online viral pretty quickly, which is true. Sidney Crosby has been to 1 All-Star game, which is insane. When you really think about it, Sidney Crosby, the best player in the world, maybe not anymore, but... Maybe over the last decade, it's probably been Crosby.
For sure.
He's been to 1 All-Star game. He's managed to duck his way out of every single other one of them. But John Scott shows up. The NHL did everything they could to not have him be there. But he showed up anyway. They finally rolled over and said, all right, just show up. And NHL brethren rallied around him, got him a couple goals, and one of them was legit. Like, it was a good shot.
I wish I could tell you.
No, he broke in. He was on a breakaway. I can't remember who was chasing him, but he eventually caught him. But he's managed to get off a good shot, and it beat the goalie clean. I don't think the goalie let that one go. I think it just beat him.
What was the final score?
Oh, it was sort of like in a very miniature round robin type thing where there was 4 teams. They each played a mini game.
Okay. So how did it work out? Who won?
In the end, the Pacific Division won.
Okay.
They beat the Atlantic Division 1-0, which is not really what you would expect as a score in an All-Star game.
No, you're absolutely right.
But it didn't play like a 1-0 game. Like it was pretty well back and forth. The goalies were, on their game at that point. And it was still entertaining, and John Scott was player of the game. It was a good day. Despite all the controversy surrounding that whole John Scott issue, the NHL got it right and everybody went home happy.
Yeah, good. They put good product on the ice and people tend to like it. I mean, I think they made a big deal out of nothing by shining the spotlight on him. That was probably the mistake. If the fans want to vote in whoever they want to vote in for whatever reason, just sort of embrace it and shrug it off, and it would have been way less of a story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect to have the same format for next year. I'm sure they're going to give you an either take away the vote entirely, or they'll have a list of extra players that you can vote from, and none of them will be of the John Scott variety.
No, exactly. You're absolutely right.
So this was a one-shot deal, and I can't find many people at this point, even the people who thought it was a bad idea to let John Scott be there. I can't find anybody right now who's saying it was still the wrong decision.
And it just sort of goes, like I said, I didn't see the game, but it just sort of goes to show as well that at the NHL level, although it's not his role when they're playing actual games, these guys still have skills.
Oh yeah, like if any of us got onto a rink with the worst NHL player, they would skate circles around us.
Right.
Without question.
Yeah, so you know, he can still shoot and pass and in this format, you know, guys can make him look good too, but it just goes to show these guys are skilled. Even the big goons are skilled.
Definitely. Definitely. And that was my sports weekend. I really didn't pay attention to much else.
Oh, my sports weekend involved watching Gary Woodland tank his way out of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, a course that I've been lucky enough to walk on and play.
And no way.
Yeah, I was there with my wife. Right, she was pregnant with our first, so 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
We snuck away to San Diego for a last little vacation before we had kids. And it's a spectacular public course.
Wow. Nice job.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Very, very difficult course. And, disappointing this weekend because all the coverage was shifted around and moved and bad weather rolled in and we didn't really get to see it at all.
Now, did you have to pull any strings to get on to Torrey Pines?
You just got to pay a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
Unlike Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach, you'd have to pull strings. There's like a 6-month waiting list unless you know a CEO.
Right.
But Torrey Pines, there is something really cool about Torrey Pines. They've maintained a couple of tee times at the first ones of the day. I don't know, maybe it's only weekends. But anyway, anyone can get on for $25 or $35 or some crazy price. But you got to get there at like midnight because people line up for these tee times.
That's hilarious. And then sleep in their cars.
Sleep in their cars. Yeah, there's like even a crew of guys call themselves the Dawn Patrol or something that are there all the time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I paid a couple $100 to play. I played both. There's two 18s there. I played them both.
Nice job.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's kind of a bucket list thing for a golfer, right?
Yeah, that was a good one. That's up there.
I mean, there's Pebble Beach, Augusta. Is Torrey Pines in that class?
Probably not. It's considered the nicest public course probably in the States. Or, you know, one of anyway, arguably. It was Tiger Woods' favorite because he grew up there and won there a lot. So it gets a little more notoriety, or it did then. But it's probably not in the same league as those other courses you mentioned.
Right. Excuse All me. Right. Well, let's. I said I wasn't going to do this anymore, but just quickly mention the Star Wars at the box office. Really, nothing has changed when you look at the big picture numbers. But this weekend, Star Wars pulled in close to $11 million, finished third behind Kung Fu Panda 3 and The Revenant.
Right.
And as far as overalls, those have barely changed at all. It's still behind Avatar and Titanic on the all-time list, all-time worldwide list, and it widened its gap domestically over Avatar. So really not a lot has changed. But one thing I did note the last time I looked at this is that international, with just looking at the international numbers, Star Wars is 4 of all time. Coming up with numbers 1 and 2 is probably an easy task. Can you come up with what number 3 is?
On the all-time list international.
Correct.
So Avatar is number 1.
Exactly. I'll give you number 2. Titanic is 2. And The Force Awakens is 4.
Can you give me a decade?
I'll give you a year. 2015. Maybe 2014. I'm not 100% sure. One or the other.
Wow. One of the X-Men one of the X-Men movies?
Nope. Not X-Men, not Avengers. You might shit your pants.
I'm about to.
And wonder what planet you're on. Fast and Furious 7.
China.
I don't know what market really propped it up.
There's a billion people in China. What? That's crazy. Yeah, it must be the Asian market.
I don't know. You're probably right.
I don't know. Europe too, I guess. Just because I think I'm more exposed to the European media than Asian media. So, and because I just haven't, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have guessed that in 100 guesses.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? It's at 1.17 billion international, that movie.
That's amazing.
Amazing. I've not seen it. Apparently it's the most fun of all of them, from what I've heard.
I saw the first one, and then I saw about half of the second one. And then I've seen bits and pieces of a few other ones, and they all seem pretty terrible, really.
Yeah, it's the pinnacle of check your brain at the door.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm just too old for them now. I used to enjoy that stuff more as a kid, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I saw part one and two in theaters, and I was probably 20-ish when those came out, and I thought they were great, and I drove home too fast from the theater after.
And too furious.
And too, way too furious. But now I can't even be bothered. If it's on Netflix one day and I'm completely bored, I might watch it only because The Rock is in it.
Sure.
I'll watch basically anything with The Rock. So there is our silly box office update. Really not much has changed. And we'll go on to next week, and probably not much will change again. Which takes us to our favorite segment, the Stupid Fan Theory of the Week. And I don't know if this week's is so stupid as it is far-reaching, convoluted, and just outrageous.
Yeah, it seems now it's like there's a theory that comes out every week just to have a theory.
And this one, someone dug deep on this one. But the theory goes that Darth Plagueis is Palpatine, became Vader, and is now Snoke. So all four Sith Lords that we've come to know and love, well, Snoke is not necessarily a Sith Lord that we've been told, but all four of these main villains are all the same person.
Right.
Wow.
Reinforced carnated.
Sure. I mean, someone's bound to come up with a clever name for what this is. But the basic premise is that Snoke had... Well, actually, Palpatine in the prequels was already Snoke.
Right.
And at that point, he was training or luring Anakin, who would be his next vessel, to the dark side. And then Anakin got completely butchered, turned into this mechanical beast. So I guess maybe the idea is that Snoke's plans were put on hold, maybe, until Luke came along. And then
Love that you're indulging the theory, so you're adding to it as you go.
I hope I'm not. It doesn't need any embellishment.
True.
But then Snoke, Palpatine, turned his sights to Luke and wanted to take over Luke, and then Luke refused. So he decided, screw it, I'll just take Vader's dead body, which was burned on Endor, so shouldn't be there at all in the first place, which is why we have the Anakin Force Ghost. There was no physical body left.
Right.
Although we never saw Anakin's body disappear a la Obi-Wan or Yoda. But I think it's safe to assume that in order to achieve that... Actually, no, that doesn't hold water, because Qui-Gon didn't disappear either, and he became a Force ghost, or at least a Force voice.
Right, and I don't know that they've set steadfast rules as to how you become a Force ghost, but we do know that at the very least, his body was burned.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that theory was pretty elaborate, is I guess the only other word I can describe for it. We routinely shoot down these theories week after week. Do you see this as being a possible explanation?
Of course not. It's ludicrous.
It's pretty ludicrous, right? And it part of it also, the basis for it is in the naming of each of the Sith Lords, where the name itself that the person takes on as a Sith Lord, it sort of embodies the character of that person. So,
right.
Palpatine was Sidious, which means sort of to infect and fester over a long period of time, which was fitting for him because of all the back channel long game planning he did to take over.
Right.
Vader for father, Darth Tyrannus, that one's self-explanatory. Darth Maul, he was again just a blunt instrument.
I have to say, just quick sidebar, whenever you say Darth Tyrannus, I picture like a short-armed Jedi, like Tyrannosaurus Rex style.
I would love to see that. That would be hilarious.
It's a funny image. Darth Tyrannus.
He'd have no reach in a lightsaber duel. I don't know how. Right, he could never get by.
No, his
lightsaber would have to be 30 feet long.
And I feel like he'd hit himself with it because he just doesn't have the flexibility or elbows required.
Yeah, he doesn't have the opposable thumb.
Darth Tyrannus is a terrible Jedi name. I mean, Sith Lord name.
He didn't last very long.
No, that's true. Then again, Dooku is not a very good name either. Overall, I think a poorly named character.
He's a poorly named character, but I do love that character. I wish there was more of him.
That's sort of why it's unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly. So that we were shooting down this theory. It's too much, right? It's too much.
In order to shoot it down, it would have had to have been standing up to begin with. Dead on arrival.
It's just too much of a reach. I think it asks people to accept too much.
Yes.
Like, everything you saw before was a sham, and it was it was actually Plagueis from the very beginning.
It would require its own movie of explaining.
Yeah, I can't see it. Points for creativity. I'm not going to shoot this one down as the ravings of some idiot fan, because this one actually had a lot of clever thought put to it. But it could never translate well to a theater or to a screenplay. And I don't think anybody outside of Star Wars apologists would accept it.
Agreed.
Good. Let's just sweep that under the rug. We'll have another one for next week for sure.
I'm sure we will.
They seem to be a bottomless well of silly theories to discuss. So the next piece that came up was sort of the least well-kept secret in the galaxy. Were you one of those people, or do you know anybody who thought that once Episode 9 wrapped, that Disney would kind of just, okay, that was it. That was our run with Star Wars. Let's just put this on the shelf. We're done.
I certainly didn't think that would be the case, but I was still happy to get news we were going to get more movies.
Right. So Disney CEO Bob Iger basically came out and in one fell swoop just made every nerdy fanboy out there so happy. He said that Marvel movies are going to go on forever.
Yeah.
And that there would be more Star Wars movies after Episode 9. He just didn't say when or how many.
And he said even more specifically there'd be more in the episodic story.
Right.
He didn't say Star Wars movies, like more Rogue Ones. He insinuated or said specifically there'd be more Star Wars meat.
Yes, he said Episode 10 would definitely be a thing.
Right.
Which I think surprised nobody, but it's nonetheless really, it's a relief to hear it confirmed.
It's fun to hear. It's good news.
Nothing but good news. So I guess we can start speculating now on... Maybe not now. Not yet. But...
we'll wait till next week.
We've already sort of discussed this, but how long would they wait before moving on to episode 10?
Well, who knows? The calendar they gave us seems to be penciled in, and they're going to shift stuff around on us on their own calendar. But so say the last one, episode 9, comes in 2019. Is that still the scheduled plan?
Yes.
So I'd say they'll probably make us wait. If waiting is a long time in the new Star Wars universe, it'll be, I think, 2 years, not more.
Yeah, I could see 2 to 3 years before they kickstart another trilogy. But in the meantime, they would for sure feed us at least one standalone.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever going to be any prolonged breaks. I think there might be breaks in either the episodic series or the anthologies, but there will always be one or the other to fill in that gap.
It seems like they invested a lot of money. I'm sure they're going to parade around their prize ponies.
Well, that's just it, right? Like they spent $4 billion, and you don't spend $4 billion just to crank out a couple movies and then let it sit. But I do wonder if Disney would ever sell the franchise again. Like if they could ever boost the Star Wars brand to a point where they could sell it for double what they paid.
To who?
Yeah, who's got deeper pockets than Disney? I don't know.
And they probably already owe everything to the devil, so.
Probably. Disney is at the same time wonderful and evil.
Yeah, no, they're the greatest thing that's ever happened to kids and fantasy and storytelling, and at the same time they've totally wiped out the people who tell stories. And you know, it's
not a company you want to see behind the curtain of, I don't think.
No, probably not. And you know, it's, and they're super successful, so with super success comes, I'm sure, all kinds of stories where they, you know, they probably donate lots of money to charity, and they probably also done a whole bunch of things they wouldn't want in a book.
Oh, absolutely not. I would love to be a fly on that conference room, whatever you want to call it, the conference room wall.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been some things said that would just, oh my God, you would never want your kids exposed to Disney again.
For sure. It's a ruthless industry, and the entertainment industry, you know, even though they're peddling kid stuff, I mean, it's still the entertainment industry. So, having said all that, $4 billion is a lot of people's moolah to not put out a lot of movies.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is an eternal license to print money. So they're just going, as long as there's an appetite for it, they're going to keep pumping it out. That's the way I see it. That's the way I want it.
Good for us fans, exactly.
I want to get to that point where I'm the 85-year-old guy in the movie theater watching whatever technology we're going to see 40-some-odd years from now. So moving on, the rumor mill is starting to really pick up steam now with Rogue One, which is natural at this point. The movie is I don't know, about 10 months away, 10 and a half months away. It's not only normal that we start hearing more and more about it. And this week, there was a bunch of reveals this week, like good close-up high-res shots of some of the costumes, which look cool. They're very Star Wars-y. I don't know if you caught any of those images.
I did.
I mean, pretty standard Star Wars stuff, right? Nothing like cool to look at. Nothing there that you go, oh, that looks stupid.
No, nothing looks stupid. I was wondering as I looked at them, I got them on sort of the first day they got leaked. I wonder, and I haven't looked since. Has anyone picked up any, you know, any super fans picked up any details? Stitchings, crests, weapons that, you know, the casual fan wouldn't have noticed? Have you seen anything revealed through the costume?
Nothing that I can really say. Like, people have noticed that in the first production photo of the cast, I think people really picked that apart and they noticed that a backpack was basically a Hoth rebel's backpack. Just it was brown instead of white.
Okay.
So a lot of similar designs, but nothing in terms of this costume means that it's, you know, this is going to happen in the movie. It's just they're very Star Warsy type costumes. They look like they fit the tone of the movie that we're going to get. Which, hey, from what we've heard of this movie, it's going to be something different, but something that we really wanted to see from Star Wars, which maybe they can't do in the episodic movies because maybe it's just too warlike.
Yeah, that's... It's interesting because, like, you know, obviously the story happens in the same universe, so they can't, you know, stray so far away that it doesn't feel like the Force and this movie don't happen in the same place. This, no matter how much Jedi lightsabering there is in this movie, you still have to feel like the Force is a relevant part of the universe this war takes place in. So I hope they don't lose that.
Well, the early, I think when they were setting the tone for the movie early on, they said that there was going to be no Jedis, no Force, no lightsabers in this movie at all. And I don't know if they changed. I don't know if that was just said sort of in, you know, exaggerating to make a point, so to speak, or if they were serious about it, that they didn't want to have that part of Star Wars in this movie. They wanted to focus on or be a very specific type of movie. Or if they've taken some flack for not including any lightsabers.
And so I don't need to see lightsabers. I don't even need anyone to use the Force. I just need to believe that the Force is a thing that could exist in that world. You know what I mean?
I think there will. I mean, it's almost all but confirmed that Darth Vader is going to be a part of it. And then he's going to have some pretty kick-ass scenes. So I think for sure we're going to see the Force. Just maybe not on the good guy side. We're going to feel the dark side, as Kylo Ren would probably appreciate. We got some details on Forrest Whitaker's character, which Forrest Whitaker is one of those guys who I can remember seeing in 1,000 movies, but I can't name one of them. Except for, he was in Forrest Gump, I believe. Was he in Forrest Gump?
Is it because his name's Forrest Whitaker that you think he was in Forrest Gump?
Maybe that's it. I don't know. He was in Species. That I know for sure. And I know I've seen him in other stuff, but I can't name the movie. And I don't know if that's because he's chosen some poor movies or I just have a bad memory as I get older.
He won an Oscar for, and this is driving me crazy. The whole time you're talking, I'm trying to remember the title. I want to say Scottish, Highland, jeez.
Oh! Something about the Scottish King? The last Scottish King or the last King? Something like that.
You're close.
So it was something in, if this was a live show, I'm sure somebody would call to,
Oh, yeah, people are yelling at their
radio. People would be yelling at us, you idiots, how can you not know this?
Did I just say radio?
We constantly date ourselves here. Anyway, but Forrest Whitaker, he's always been a guy that I liked, and now that he's going to be part of the saga that I love, I can't wait to see what his character is going to be about. And we got some details. Now, I'm not sure yet if we have to have a discussion as a show at some point. If we're going to talk spoilers. But for now, we'll tread lightly. Because what we've learned actually isn't much of a spoiler. But what seems to be the case is that Forrest Whitaker's character is going to be a one-legged dude. As in the other leg is robotic. Which I think is a cool choice. Lots of cybernetics in Star Wars are always cool. Except for when they push it to the General Grievous part.
Do you think it'll be a red cybernetic leg?
Maybe. Could be.
That'd be interesting. The last king of Scotland, incidentally, just had to look it up.
I'm going to just assume that I said that. With all the words I was blurting out, I'm going to say I got that.
Yeah, good one.
So I'm looking forward to seeing Forrest Whitaker. He's a great actor. I think he'll do a good job. And there was more stories that came out about Rogue One during the course of the week. And one of them, I don't want to sound like I'm not happy about it, but I'm not happy about it. And it came from, it's still just a theory. But somebody spotted Boba Fett's ship, the Slave One, on a box of Lego, which apparently is part of the Rogue One collection. So now people are saying Boba Fett is going to also be in Rogue One. And I love Boba Fett. He's cool. But I can't help but feel that it was one thing to bring Darth Vader in to sort of underpin the success of your first standalone movie. Bring in the most iconic character. I get it. Especially since the movie leads right into A New Hope, where Darth Vader is. But I can't help but feel that if Boba Fett is going to be in Rogue One, that might feel like a bit of fan service to me.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Disney to do it just for that reason. But, you know, would I be disappointed? I don't know that I would be.
I guess we really have to see how the character serves the story. Like, I hope he's just not there to have flashy action sequences, but not really push the story forward. I would, if he's going to be there, have a point.
You don't want to see him breakdancing in a club, looking cool.
if at all possible, I would like to not see him dancing at all. I just want him to have something to do that suits the character and doesn't take away any of the mystery we have about the character.
Right.
That was always the thing about Boba Fett. He was just that cool guy that you don't know much about. And of course the prequels, and again the Clone Wars series, gave us bits and pieces of his backstory. And of course we're going to get a standalone that fits in somewhere on the timeline that will really open things up for him. But I don't know if I need to see Boba Fett in Rogue One. I hope they write it in a way that it serves the story and serves the character well. That's all I'm saying.
And then again, the fan service could be that Boba Fett's not even in the movie, but Slave One is.
Yeah, maybe he lost the ship at some point. Somebody took it, or maybe it's just, you know, there's a lot of Honda Civics on the road. A lot of Toyota Corollas out there. A lot of Dodge Caravans.
Fair enough.
Could just be that, although it's an iconic ship in the same way that the Falcon is an iconic ship. So you would
I wouldn't guess it's another model, you know, another of the same model. But maybe it's not his yet. Maybe it's in someone else's hands temporarily. Maybe he's in it, but we never see him, and we get a flyby. Who knows?
Yeah, it's still really early, and again, it's based on a Lego toy box, which could mean nothing.
Nah, but Lego's always in the know.
Oh yeah, all these manufacturers, they already know. They've already gone into full speed ahead with whatever toys they're going to be doing.
Production and planning for sure.
Yeah, they've all signed their non-disclosure agreements, and they're off and running. So here's an interesting one. This one is touchy, so to speak, especially for original trilogy era fans. And I wanted to send you a link before the show, just so you could rewatch the scene. So we're going to test the depths of your memory here.
Uh-oh.
But the second duel between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever have assumed that Luke went to the dark side during that duel? In that final push where Vader's taunting him out of hiding, and you see that visual where half of Luke's face is shaded dark and the other half is faded or shaded white, lit, you know, shaded in white light. Anyway, his face is split. It was a very intentional visual image that they were going for, that Luke was being pulled in both directions. And then he's had enough of Vader's taunting. He comes out and unleashes this relentless, violent attack on Vader.
I remember.
And he severs his hand, and you see the look on Luke's face. Like, he looks like he's seeing red, right? Like, he's pissed, beyond pissed. And Palpatine, of course, is super pleased, and he's on his way to the dark side. And then Luke pulls his way back. But it was never really confirmed one way or the other as to whether or not Luke went to the dark side. And it was something that fans always talked about. You know, did Luke tap into the dark side during that moment? I personally assume that he did. Just because of, you know, just seeing the look on his face and the relentless, violent nature of his attack on Vader, I thought that he crossed the line, but was able to pull himself back. Where other people just said, no, he was just focused and always on the right side of the ledger. What's your take?
Well, I never gave it specific thought about which side of the Force he was using as a kid. I never thought about it that way. He was a good guy, so I just always sort of assumed he was using the light side. But as an adult, I would imagine the direction he was getting involved him using the dark side of the Force and tapping into his dark emotions. And I'm trying to imagine the specific direction he was getting to film the scene the way it, you know, ended up. And I'm sure he must have been getting direction like, you know, now you're tap into the whatever, the bad, the dark, the anger, the, which, you know, would have to mean that he was supposed to be acting like he was using the dark side or feeling the dark side.
Right. So all that to say that it was confirmed through a youth or young adult novel. I can't remember the title of the book or if it maybe was a children's novel, but it's considered canon that Luke tapped into the dark side.
Okay.
For that brief moment he had gone over. And so, of course, it ignited the whole debate again, which I guess now if you have confirmation in a canon book, it sort of makes everything that you say moot. It is what it is. But people turned to, again, Pablo Hidalgo of the Story Group, and he himself was very wishy-washy on it. And I don't know if it was just his personal opinion or if it's just something, maybe he personally doesn't agree with the book, but it was something that he didn't like talking about very much. Or maybe it's something specific from Lucasfilm where they just like to leave that part ambiguous and let that debate rage on. But I always thought that Luke did go over to the dark side, but whereas Anakin failed to come back, Luke takes a look at his mechanical hand, looks at what he just did to Vader, stops and pulls himself back, throws away his lightsaber and rejects the Emperor's call to join the dark side.
Which really you couldn't have rejected it unless you tried it. Like you can't
knock it till you try it.
Well, sort of. I mean, he had to sort of get to that point to really know if he wanted to go over or not, didn't he?
I guess. I mean, it's even insinuated that Rey goes over to the dark side.
Yeah, in her little, I've heard that in her little duel with Kylo Ren.
Or I don't know if it's official that she went over, but it's for sure that she felt the pull.
Yeah, sorry, when I say duel, I don't mean saber battle either. I meant mind duel that they had.
Right. Yeah, maybe there's a couple instances where she felt where there was a different side of the Force pulling at her. But I thought that was interesting. I think it's an interesting debate, and I wonder if it means that, I don't think so, but I wonder if Luke could ever go back to the dark side. I think that would be nuts. I think given the status he has now, or the mastery he's achieved now over the Force, I think he's pretty much set in stone as a good guy. But I guess weirder things have happened. I guess it's possible he could slide down again.
Yeah, that would be unexpected. The only reason I see them doing writing that, it would be to shock us. It doesn't seem to fit with what they've done with the Luke character.
No, it would. It would invalidate what he did in episodes 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
So he's good guy. He stays good. I think you have to respect that trajectory for the character. But again, they could write it. They could do it. I doubt it, but it could happen. So last week, we discussed some deleted scenes and whether or not they should go in or out, or if we felt they should have been included, yes or no. I think we agreed that for the most part, the ones they cut deserve to be cut. But there was one scene that we forgot to talk about. It was my own laziness. I forgot about that scene. But there is a scene on Starkiller Base after the Falcon crashes, where Kylo Ren actually makes his way onto the Falcon with a couple of snowtroopers. And I don't know if he's looking for Han or if he just wants to be on the ship, but apparently they shot a scene where he sits in the cockpit and you see him helmetless. And there's just a very sad look of... a mournful look, I guess, is the right way to put it. Where maybe he's reminiscing about what family life he did have. Maybe he's regretful over what he's missed out on. But it seemed like a pretty poignant scene from what I could remember. And I almost, this is the closest one, I think, to wanting to have back into the movie. I think last week I wanted to have a little bit of the political stuff put in. I think this one is something I would have liked to have seen, just to give us a little extra insight into Kylo's character. Just to remind us that he did have some feelings for his family.
It does seem an odd one to cut. I don't know. Maybe it gave away something we're not supposed to know. Maybe there's something in the scene. It does seem an odd one to cut, because I'd love to see Kylo Ren sitting in the Falcon. Just visually, it would be a cool and odd looking to see the sort of the lead bad guy at the helm of the iconic ship. Would just be a cool image that the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it cuts close to home, right? It's the home invader in your house. Like you feel violated,
right?
So yeah, to see Kylo Ren, he's on board the Falcon. Holy shit! Like, wow. Maybe it just felt out of place. You know, transitioning from one scene to the next, Kylo Ren is here, then he's there, and now he's over there. How does he get around all these places so quickly? Maybe from that standpoint, it didn't work. But it's definitely something I hope to see. And maybe one day, fingers crossed, if they do an extended edition, we do get that scene put back in. One last thing before we wrap up the show. It's a bit of a shorter episode this week. But in the file of, yeah, we already knew this, the story that is making the rounds right now, as we speak, is the news, quote-unquote news, that Captain Phasma is officially confirmed for episode 8.
I saw that today as well.
I thought it was something that was already confirmed. I think Kathleen Kennedy is on record saying that the plans for her in episode 8 to make her a real scene-stealing bad guy were already in the works. I took that as official confirmation. When the president of Lucasfilm sort of speaks on the topic, I kind of take that as official, but apparently it wasn't until Gwendolyn Christie herself said that she was going to be in it.
I don't think anybody's disappointed by that news. I mean, I think the only disappointment about Phasma's character is we didn't get more.
Yeah, I mean, she catches a bit of flack based on all the build-up that we got for the character. And then really we only get a couple lines, and really, like, she's the one that leads to the ruin of Starkiller Base.
And under what seems to be minimal threat. They don't have to beat her up too bad. They don't have to rough her up too bad. They don't have to threaten to kill her too badly. Like, she just sort of...
She just kind of does it.
Yeah.
You know, I what does it say about the character that she wouldn't be at least willing to take on Finn? I guess of course, you've got a 7.5-foot-tall Wookiee standing over your shoulder. Maybe that makes you think twice. But if she's as badass as we'd have been led to believe, you'd think she'd take a stab at it.
Yes, and I mean, when it comes to selling action figures, they've already established the characters don't need a whole lot of lines to be beloved.
Exactly. Well, Boba Fett really is the poster boy for that, right?
Even Darth Vader, but yes, Boba Fett is absolutely the prime example.
Now, what, something about Phasma's costume that I thought was interesting, and I think it comes out of the visual dictionary for The Force Awakens, but her suit is sort of made out of the same metal from scavenged... Remember the ships from the prequels? Those Naboo the chrome ships?
Yes.
Her suit is basically made from that. I don't know if it's made from a ship of note, or if it's the same metal, or if it's actually scavenged off one of the ships. I'm not clear on that. But I thought that was interesting. Or that could be interesting if there's more to that little detail.
I wonder if we'll get some more Gungans.
I don't think we will ever see a Gungan again in a Star Wars movie.
Never say never.
I mean, Jar Jar's still got to be out there somewhere.
There's a whole planet of them.
They got to be out there. There's got to be a story for the Gungan somewhere. And there are people who would like it. There are people...
It's a kids movie.
Yeah, it would be a kids movie.
Standalone, like Return to Endor, but it'll be Adventures Under the Sea with the Gungans.
Well, why couldn't they do like a Minion-style movie about the Gungans?
Exactly.
Just make it fully animated.
Oh, boy. Well, yes, Jar Jar was fully animated.
Yeah, but I mean, treat it that way. Treat it like a kids... Treat it like a Minions movie. Or like any of your standard Pixar movies. Treat it that way. They could do it. It would still sell. And then it's a way to use characters that a certain segment like while not having to shove it down the throats of the people that don't like them at all.
Wow, we're working away to the wee hours here, Kyle.
I know, we're burning the midnight oil here, quite literally. We'll save what we've got left for episode 10. This is the last week. Actually, no, episode 11 is really the point where we spill over, where we need a third hand to count the number of episodes we've got. So as of next week, we'll need two full hands with no severed fingers to count the number of episodes we've put out.
Double digits, I like it.
Yeah, man. All right. A little bit of a shorter episode this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for listening. On the topic of spoilers, dear listeners, if you want us to go into that territory, please let us know on the Facebook page or Twitter, whatever's easiest for you. Kyle at TumblingSaber.com if you are still an email fan. I put my phone number out there too, but nobody calls me, so I don't assume you would either. But either of those other places, if you want us to talk spoilers, whether it's Episode 8, whether it's Rogue One, let us know. Yes, no, either way. It's all good, and at some point we'll come to a conclusion as to how we organize the show around spoilers. But until then, we appreciate you listening. And as always, James, thank you for being here.
Always fun, Kyle.
Cool, man. So thank you once again, everybody. You know how to get in touch with the show. And until next week, have a good one, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now. Mm-hmm.